This is the Oanda Podcast.
This is the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, where we preview and review all the week's business and market stories with Oanda senior market analysts from around the world. And today it is Ed Moyer in New York. Good afternoon from London, Ed. How are you doing?
And a happy belated birthday, Mr. Hart.
Well, listen, you forgot the actual day, but I'll forgive you. 2 days late, but never mind. Wednesday was a big day for everyone because it was not only my birthday. We had all these positive vibes coming out of the Federal Reserve on Wednesday. The central bank remaining optimistic about the rebound in US economic activity. They've described the most adversely affected industries as having shown improvement. However, there is a warning, though, that higher inflation could come as a result of the base effects of measuring year-on-year changes in addition to some supply chain constraints. So it was a mixed picture, wasn't it, from Jay Powell et al.?
Yeah, Powell stayed the course, and it was really a meeting that they really just wanted to just not trigger any taper tantrums, and they just wanted to make sure that investors knew that, you know, obviously they're going to address the sudden rise in pricing pressures. But I think the key comment for me from Fed Chair Powell was that he noted that what's been achieved is not close to substantial further progress that is needed for tapering. So I think you're going to see that Powell is reaffirming that view that there still needs to be this, you know, tremendous wave of stimulus, which is, you know, bucking the trend that we saw from Canada. I think everyone knows the other major central banks are much closer to tapering than the Fed is. Fed Chair Powell, he's tripled downing on his bet that inflation will be transitory. And it's going to make these next few months of inflation readings a lot more, I think, sensitive to the market's belief of whether or not, you know, the Fed is possibly making a policy mistake here. I think that when you take a look at how strong this economic recovery has been and just some of the momentum, I think you're probably in a position where the Fed should be considering, you know, a careful but gradual retreat of some of this stimulus. So I think, you know, the Fed is going to have to focus also on the long term and just keeping, you know, the $120 billion monthly of asset purchases going strong is going to have some effects on the longer term side. And you know, they might not be able to pull off a normalization to policy if they kind of do the taper a little bit too late. So I think everyone is going to be focused on, you know, these next couple of months of very high and inflation reports. And I think you're going to start to see that that's going to really, I think, test the Fed. So I think today we heard from Kaplan, who kind of, we have to remember Kaplan's a hawk, and Kaplan's, hawkish comments on tapering will, you know, should not be a surprise. But I think you might start to see some dissent here from other policy members. And that should, I think, really open the door for an expectation that come the June FOMC or possibly at Jackson Hole in August, they will begin that taper discussion. Because right now the Fed, you know, they're still sticking to that belief that they're still not even thinking about tapering. So it was a job well done if you were just looking to punt this decision into June and not give really any strong hints. So I think investors took that, and when you take a look at the price action, for the most part, this week, you know, U.S. stocks, you know, we did have a kind of a, you know, fresh record highs, but, you know, we're settling, you know, it's somewhat close to flat on the week. So, I think there's this belief that a lot of people might be starting to sell before May and just kind of, you know, wait to ride out and wait for that next major pullback, which, you know, typically a lot of people were expecting a taper tantrum at some point this summer.
And we've seen the latest GDP data coming through, obviously fueled by that massive amount of fiscal stimulus, and that's led to more consumer spending, as well as looser lockdown restrictions, and output's close to pre-pandemic levels, Ed. The economy growing at an annualized rate of 6.4% in the quarter. So totally unsurprising considering the stimulus.
Very much so. And I think we have to also remember the U.S. economy, for the most part, Biden pretty much doubled his pledge on vaccinations. The U.S. Total population is 30% fully vaccinated. Just over 43% have had their first dose. My wife getting her second dose just this morning. There is so much momentum here. And I think what we have to remember, so if roughly 30% of the population is, vaccine hesitant, probably a good percentage of that people have already been exposed to the virus, expectations for a complete return of normal economic activity is extremely high for this summer. The scientists are possibly identifying, end of May, the U.S. will reach herd immunity. And there's just so much pent-up demand that you're going to see Americans spend. They need to get new wardrobes for going back to work. They need to have family trips, visit relatives and friends. So I think there's so much potential momentum here for the economy over these next couple quarters. And I think a lot of that has been priced in the stock market. And I think you're going to probably start to see investors focus abroad. And I think one of the key areas that I see, the best valuations going is going to be slightly towards Europe. As we were talking offline, the Euro area economy, slipping to that double dip recession, I think it really kind of provides like that belief that this virus has really impacted the world, and Europe right now finally has COVID vaccinations heading in the right direction. I think there's this optimistic view that we're starting to see that across most Western European countries, cases are declining. I think that you're having certain areas like Italy, they've begun to reopen outdoor hospitality, and France is expected to follow them. So I think there's so much momentum that you're probably going to still see from Europe as they're in the earlier stages of their economic recovery, that you're probably going to have a lot of investors become a little bit more bullish there. And that's probably why you've seen the euro, for the most part, has finally kind of got its groove back. I think you're going to see that there's this still firm belief for many traders that, the Fed will be the last major central bank to taper, to raise rates, and for that normalization of policy, which really kind of opens the door for, I think, the other advanced economy currencies to shine. So there's this big belief that you're going to have a much weaker dollar second half of the year, and you'll probably start to see more investors try to price that in earlier.
And it's been a very busy week where you are, hasn't it, Ed? Because we had Joe Biden marking the first 100 days of his presidency with sweeping investment plans for jobs, education, social care in what was his first speech to a joint session of Congress. And he's pitched something like $4 trillion in spending. That is the largest overhaul of US benefits since the 1960s. But his plans, of course, face a battle in Congress before they can become law. I mean, even some Democrats aren't that fond of this kind of spending, are they?
No, and I think, his first 100 days in the joint speech to Congress is met with lots of scrutiny. And I think the key, person to follow is the conservative Democratic from West Virginia, Joe Manchin. And he is not on board with a lot of this. So I think that we have to remember this is the initial offer. We are going to see months, probably a few months of negotiations On Biden's economic plan to redistribute trillions and, you know, expand government. So you're going to see, I think, a lot of back and forth with Congress on this one. But I think you can, you know, for the most part, count that we're going to have, some sweeping changes. I think, you know, taxes are going up, and that is one thing that you're going to probably see that corporate tax rate go to 25%. I think that you're still going to see increases at the top marginal income tax rate. There's this willingness to accept it right now, and the timing is ideal. The economy is entering its best moments on record, and it seems that this recovery, during these negotiations, we're going to be seeing some, jaw-dropping, hiring numbers, U.S. consumer strength, and I think you're going to see that you're going to be able to pass this, market is probably going to become a little bit more pessimistic on 2022 when you start to have the effects of these tax increases, when you start to have the base effects of all the good economic data we're getting this year. So I think you're going to see earnings valuations are going to be a lot more difficult for 2022. And I think, you also have the Fed taper. So I think there's a lot of risks growing for 2022. And it seems that there's this firm belief, though, that, Biden will be able to pass through his American Jobs Plan, his family plan, and that you're going to see, the right is going to, obviously be somewhat critical over just some of these programs that are focused on childcare and education, but I think there is enough support to get this passed. So there are a lot of people that are anticipating that this won't pass, but I think it still will through that budget reconciliation process, and that would really cement quite the first year for President Biden. So I think he's getting a lot done, and I think once that American Family Plan is passed, then it's going to be just the focus on the midterm elections, and that will be very interesting to see if the Democrats can hold on. So we're almost, I know it's only, we're just over 100 days into his term, but this is the amount of capital he has to work with right now, it's starting to run out. So this is probably going to be his last big thing.
Yeah, but certainly his first 100 days have been pretty radical, haven't they? And perhaps more so than many expected.
For Biden winning the Senate, that was the game changer. That provided him, the free rein to pretty much pass anything and get all these trillions of dollars pumped into the economy.
Indeed. Right, let's turn to earnings, Ed, and a surge in iPhone sales, especially in China, has led to a doubling of profits at Apple since the start of the pandemic. The results reflect optimism about the days ahead, that according to Apple's boss, and as we know, Facebook also reporting bumper revenues and profits. But how long is this going to last? We're expecting legislation. We're expecting problems with Apple's latest software release, which could undermine its prospects later in the year. Are these going to be the bygone halcyon days that people look back on eventually?
What was just as impressive was Alphabet's results. And I think Alphabet has done an amazing job transitioning to becoming one of the favorite reopening trades. Businesses, digital ad spend, that is skyrocketing. If you're a business and you're trying to capitalize on this reopening momentum, you're spending on advertising, and that's benefiting Google, and it's also driving Facebook demand. So I think you're starting to see that a lot of people were skeptical on these companies because they thought, well, once everyone kind of returns to normal, you're not going to have as much demand. But it turns out, no, these are becoming some of the favorite reopening trades right now.
And what did you make of Facebook's numbers?
Facebook was pretty solid. I think that for me, if I had to rate the FANG stocks, I'm probably a little bit more pessimistic on Netflix. Facebook is probably my second least favorite. I think that the competition is growing and the millennial interest is not really there. I think that the risks, you know, there has not been an answer to TikTok. I think that you're probably going to see that. I think investors, when it comes to FANG stocks, they're probably going to stick to Apple, Amazon, and Google. And Amazon, they crushed it. They also reported blowout results. Big tech trade on Wall Street is not going away anytime soon, and that's very positive for the S&P 500, given the weighting, I think about 18%. There's just so much more continued support there. But I think when you take a look at the astronomical rise these stocks have had, we've seen, Apple give back a lot of those gains. And I think you're going to probably see that these stocks have run up way too much. And we're probably in a period for consolidation.
Okay. Busy old week. What about next week, Ed? What are you expecting? What are the highlights in the next 7 days or so?
Well, I think the main event, we got, the aftermath of the Fed. We have lots of other central banks for having their policy decisions. For me, the Bank of England is probably the event I am most excited to follow and cover. I think that what we're probably going to see is that there is a chance we could start to have that taper discussion happen, or possibly queued up for June. There is a tremendous success for the Johnson administration with the vaccine rollout. And I think that lifting the pandemic restrictions has been met with, a tremendous consumer pent-up demand. I think when you take a look at some of the, latest data from CHAPS, we saw that's the Clearinghouse of Automated Payment Systems, that, the UK credit card spending rose 110% from a year ago average. So there's just a tremendous upgrade of growth forecasts happening for the UK economy. So the tapering is completely justified. So I think you'll start to see investors will look to see, will the BOE be the next major central bank to taper? And as we start to see more and more of these central banks taper, I think that is really going to, continue to draw or drive the weaker dollar trade. The first thing that happens is you taper, you reduce your asset purchases, then you go about raising interest rates. So I think everyone is going to want to follow the Bank of England rate decision. That to me is the main event. And then in addition to that one, we also will see a decision from the Bank of England, the RBA, the Reserve Bank of Australia. What was, I think for them, they're going to keep rates on hold, but they might shift their 3-year bond target. You're probably going to start to see a lot more optimistic views from these banks. And I think that is going to be the primary focus for next week. We also have another employment report from the U.S., the non-farm payroll report. It's been these consensus estimates have been creeping higher. Market is now anticipating, I believe, 950,000 jobs created in April, which would be a slight improvement from the 916,000 in the prior month. The market will not really move unless we see a reading, I think, well above 1 million. A lot of this has been priced in. And there's still over 3.5 million jobs that need to come back before, I think, you know, the Fed will be forced to acknowledge the progress in the labor market. So very, very important reading. And also we have the flash PMIs for Europe and the U.S. Those are always important ones to pay attention to. And lastly, we also have a very important parliamentary election in Scotland. Now, if we do have a big win with the pro-independence Scottish National Party, I dare not talk about independence referendums without my my counterpart Craig Earlham, but he's on paternity leave, and that is something that, you know, we could start to see that type of discussion start to return. So that will be an important development to follow. It'll obviously take months and months of time, but that will be a big result to track. And there's a ton of Fed speak. I think you're going to hear from various members. If we have more people join Kaplan's camp of tapering, could impact Treasury yields a little bit more. But it'll be a very active week. Not as busy as this week, but still just as important.
Okay, great to hear from you. Have a very good weekend, and we'll speak to you same time next week.
Wonderful. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
The OANDA Podcast.